Baruch Hashem, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is upon us. And throughout my life, I've always had a feeling, and it's become stronger with the years, that Pesach is the most wondrous of the Yom Tovim. It's of a different realm than everything else that we experience. All the halachic changes which are involved, the lifestyle change, bespeaks the fact that this Yom Tov is in a different orbit, in a different sphere. Its part in Jewish consciousness is unique. We live in the midst of many people who are not particularly observant throughout the year, and yet it's surprising how many people will not eat chametz on Pesach. And I speak to people that work in the court system and in other places. People ask them, oh, when can we finish eating matzah already? But there's something about this Yom Tov which has captivated us throughout its history. And as I said, throughout my life, and particularly with each passing year, there's a different appreciation of the Chag, of its uniqueness, of its specialness and appreciation. And usually at this year, I start a little bit with Divrei Agoda, because in the observance of the halacha, one has to be very careful that we not get so into the details of the halacha that we forget what we're doing. Sometimes we need to take a step back and just realize that there's a chag, and the chag has fundamental to what Yahadus is, and to take in the Chag. Chassidus especially stressed that, but the truth is it's not antithetical to the Litvisher persuasion either. If one examines the writings of Rav Chaim Volozhin and others, the Machshava played a very, very significant role. We should not forget that. And as I thought in preparation for this year about this Chag, words that I heard more than three decades back from the then Mashgiach of Ponovich, or Reuven Ginsburg, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, ring very loudly in my ears. It was the occasion of a hesped for Rav David Krongler, Zeichet Tzadik Lebracha, which took place in Mir Yeshiva. The year was Tovshin Lamed Gimel. And one quote from it continues to reverberate in my ears across the span of the decades. He reflected upon the experience in our own family. This resonates very strongly. It's my father-in-law, Zohar Zayin Gesund. This is a very significant chapter in his own life. He reflected on the years, the 6 years that Mir Yeshiva spent in the city of Shanghai in China. And he said, we lived in China for 6 years. And yet, he says, I did not become a person of Chinese culture, of Chinese mores. And if one considers 6 years of my adult life, 6 years of my adult life is a very significant percentage of my life. And yet, a much greater, I did not become, adopt to Chinese culture. If we consider our earthly stay in this world, no matter how long it may be, it is a tiny speck compared to the eternity of the human soul. And if in 6 years in China we did not become Chinamen, then in 70 or 100 years in this world, which is a much smaller fraction compared to the Nitzchias of the person in the Shema, we should not become Bnei Olam Hazeh, earthly material people. It struck me at the time, and it reverberates constantly in my consciousness. This Chag tells us, how does the Rabbeinu Shel Olam describe Yetzias Mitzrayim? If you want to know what Yetzias Mitzrayim is, we could look at it from our perspective, or we can look at it from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's perspective. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Chumash Devarim offers a perspective which is a perch from on high. He describes Yetzias Mitzrayim is lokachas loigorim mikerav goy. A nation from the midst of another nation. He extracted us from the midst of Egyptian culture, Egyptian assimilation. It was hard to discern in a religious sense the difference between the Mitzrayim, between the Egyptians and ourselves. The Malachi HaShoris were to stand before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf and implore them, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why are the Egyptians drowning and the Jews are saved? They're both idol worshippers. We became involved in idol worship in Mitzrayim. Bris Mila lapsed, Chazal tell us, before we were able to perform the first Korban Pesach at the end of Golas Mitzrayim. What did Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell us? We cited in Agadah, we needed to undergo Bris Mila. The most fundamental of Jewish practices had lapsed. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam though comes, and the discourse of the Ovos is Lokachas Loigoy Mikerav Goy. We emerge as a nation, as a people. As the Haggadah tells us, we were unique. We had a unique national identity that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has given us. And that is the essence of what Yetzias Mitzrayim is. We have wandered the earth, and yet we are a people apart. Our religious philosophy is apart. Our culture is apart. The Chofetz Chaim, Zeichet Tzadik Livrocho, at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, in Tsarist Russia, was about to publish one of his forums. And this, unfortunately, was a time of mishumodim, many apostates in the Jewish community at this time. Because if one wanted to get ahead in Tsarist Russia, an apostate, all the doors were open for him. And one of them was appointed as a censor, to censor Jewish books before they were published. If one looks at all the Jewish books, they're stamped by the censor with the print and his approval is printed inside, that he authorizes publication. So in conversation with him, he was a Jew, obviously very far from an observant Jew, and the Chofetz Chaim talked about the non-Jews, lahavdil, that we are divided from them, separated from them. And he said, Rebbe, that's inappropriate to speak such a way. We're all one family of men in this world. The Chofetz Chaim said, what can I do? But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself wrote in the Torah, v'avdil eschem and amim v'yazlila, I can't change that which the Rabbeinu Shel Olam said. We are separate. Our aspirations are different. Our observances are different. And in that apartness, we find our own way in the world. Why, in fact, what was the answer to that which the Malachim said, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Ramei Asimcha writes in his classic work, Meshech Chochma, that Chazal tell us in an enigmatic statement, in the Shiva Sayom each day we recite Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa. And the Gemara tells us in Brochus that Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa refers to the coming to Eretz Yisrael to build the second Jewish commonwealth in the time of Ezra. And the Gemara states that we should have entered Eretz Yisrael to build the second Mikdash with the same Nisim and Afloys, in the same miraculous way that we left Mitzrayim with Nisim Gluyim. That's the way we should have left Babel and returned to Eretz Yisrael. Very different from the humble beginnings of the second Jewish commonwealth. We came, we started to build the Mikdash, they stopped us, they started, etc. How many people came? Who came? The grandeur of the first Mikdash was not to be achieved until finally Hurdus came halfway through the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Why? And the Gemara just says obliquely, Shagor HaMachet, we were guilty of sinfulness, and we did not merit that form of return to Eretz Yisrael. What was it though? And if we look back, Kalolu Ovdi Avodah Zarah, were they not sinful in Mitzrayim as well? So Ramea Simcha tells us there was one difference. In Mitzrayim, in a religious sense, we had lapsed significantly. But our ethnicity was strong. The Jewish people were a people apart. But a Chazal tell us, in what merit were we redeemed? That we spoke the Jewish language. We proudly kept Jewish names. We had a unique mode of Jewish dress, of national identity. And in reference to Shleimus Bas Divrei, Chazal tell us, this is the only woman that it had, even against a liaison, with an Egyptian. The Jews were a people apart. This we observed meticulously in Mitzrayim. And thereby, says in the Golas, when we maintain our unique identity, the Rabbeinu Shalom was a lot kinder to us than he was in Golas Bavel. In Golas Bavel, the people were religious. They were observant to the largest extent. But assimilation played a very significant role in Golas Bavel. Ezra deals with intermarriage for the first time in Jewish history. But a very strange, not the intermarriage that we're familiar with. Not the intermarriage of a person that doesn't know what it means to be a Jew. He deals with people that identify, that know they're Jewish, that observe Jewish practices, and yet they're intermarried. And that's why he comes and he builds the second Mikdash. Who goes back with him from Babel? He gathers 42,000 people and he convinces them to leave their non-Jewish wives and come back to Eretz Yisrael with him. They are observant people, but assimilation is the lifestyle of Babel. In the Golas, the Rabbeinu Shalom, he says, places greater emphasis on the things, on the Havdolah, on those things which keep us apart from the non-Jewish world sometimes, than even Gufei HaMitzvahs, than even major religious practices, in terms of how he conducts himself in dealing with Klal Yisrael. And this is essential, it's particularly essential for our survival today. We live, Baruch Hashem, in a society where Jews are accepted as we have never been accepted at any time in our entire history. And more so today than 30 or 35 years back. Circa 1970, a non-Fum professor, right here in Queens College, goes down the block, gets up one night before his class and he tells them, to all the Jewish students in my class, don't set your sights, not on Wall Street, and not in the world of banking. They're not interested in you. You're not going to make your career there. So, and he was a non-from Jew. He was an economist. But he wanted to advise his students in terms of career choices, do not set your eyes on Wall Street and the world of banking. It's closed. They're not going to let you in. Baruch Hashem, that barrier is also gone. We're accepted every place. We live in a relatively cultured society. People are educated. There's refinement in the people around us. We do not live amongst lowly peasants. And that's particularly what we have to realize. We have different quests than the world around us. We should not measure our morality, our religiosity, our piety by the standards of the world around us. They may be very fine people, and even religiously inclined people, but the divide between ourselves and them is significant. We have a different form of service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, a different association with Shechina. You cannot appeal to us that come and involve yourself in religious life for 1 hour a week. It's not what we're about. We are a people whose entire consciousness is possessed by the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. When the Vilna Gaon himself could comment on the very famous Mishnah at the end of Makkos, the Mishnah states, "Rotza Kodesh Baruch Hu Lizakas Yis Yisrael." The Rabbeinu Shalom wished to give us merit. Lefikach Herbo Lahen Torah and Mitzvahs, and therefore he's given us an abundance of Torah and Mitzvahs. Taryak. Shenemar Hashem Chofetz Laman Tzidko was Yagdil Torah V'Yadner. He has magnified the Torah. And the very obvious question raised by everyone that has studied this Mishnah over the centuries and the millennia. If the Rabbanu Shalom wished us to succeed, give us 10 mitzvahs. 10 mitzvahs we could keep. Taryag mitzvahs? How in the world are we going to observe taryag mitzvahs? That almost would seem to assure that we're going to fail and not succeed. What's pshat in this Mishnah? The many explanations of this Mishnah. The Vilna Gaon interpreted this Mishnah in the following fashion. A non-Jew lives in this world in two spheres. Even as a religious person, he has religious observances in his life where he serves the Rabbanu Shalom in his fashion. He has large portions of his life, most of his life, which are not affected by his religiosity, these secular events that he has to take, involve himself in as a human being in this world. Such a person can easily stray away from the Rabbanu Shalom because so much of his life does not find focus and does not come in contact with the Rabbanu Shalom. The chesed that the Rabbanu Shalom did for us is that it gave us a religion that's 24/7. It touches every single thing that a person does in this world. There is nothing that we can do in this world which is not affected by Torah and Mitzvahs. And therefore, the entirety of the human experience is in touch, is focused upon the Shekhinah. We can declare b'chol drachecha da'ayu with everything that we do in this world, we should serve the Rabbanu Shalom. There is no human experience which is outside the realm of Shekhinah. That's our notion. Is there a nation in the world that has conceived of an ethical compendium such as the laws of Shmiras HaLoshon? The entire world will tell you it's something, it's an ethical lapse that's involved in gossip, but that's where it ends. Is there another ethical system that has laws of Shmiras HaLoshon? We have a different notion of what it means to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. In a society which accepts us, that's particularly where we have to realize that we're different. What's good for the world around us is fine, but it has nothing to do with our service of the Rabbanu Shalom. We can respect them for what they are. If they are decent people, religiously inclined people, they are worthy of our respect. But it has nothing to do with the way I live my life. I have different goals, a different level of service of the Rabbanu Shalom, a different involvement with Shekhinah in this world. One that is Mekadosh, that sanctifies every human experience. Pesach in the Golos is rooted in V'avdil Eschem and Amim Lios Lila Om. But it's rooted as well in an understanding that in a historical sense, we view ourselves in the position that we find ourselves as in a transient state. A person that feels that he's permanently associated with something adapts to what's around him. This is the situation. They have to become comfortable with it. They have to live with it. A person that finds himself temporarily someplace maintains his equanimity. He keeps the focus that he has. And he knows this is a temporary experience. I'm not going to change my entire life because of something temporary. Rav Reuven Ginsburg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, stood in Shanghai for 6 years, but he did not view that his life would begin and end in Shanghai. This is a stage. Stage? So I was a person before I came here. I will be a person after I leave here. And it may be a long stage, but it's a stage. In the Golos, our forefathers, and that remains the struggle of Yahadis today, throughout over all the centuries and over the millennia. During the first Jewish Commonwealth in Bayis Rishon, it was easy to celebrate Pesach. Here we harvested, we held in our hands the fruits of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We left Mitzrayim, we came to Eretz Yisrael, we conquered the land, we had a state for 850 years. For over 400 years we had a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. This is what we received. A gift from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in Yetzias Mitzrayim. What happened after Nebuchadnezzar came and were driven into Babel? We're in Golus. Why am I celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim there? A person was freed from jail, he celebrates. If they rearrest him and they throw him back into jail, so why is he celebrating that he was released previously? What does it help me now? I'm back in the same bad position I was before. So what do I have to celebrate for? That's where the Haggadah begins. Holach ma'anya li'achola abasona bara de Mitzrayim. It's lach ma'anya. In Golus, it's lach ma'anya. It lacks the majesty, the beauty, the nobility of its involvement with the Korban Pesach, with the Avodah, in the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. That we're lacking. Indeed, we are impoverished. As we say in the davening each week, when we lack the avodah and the mikdash, tikar shiras rosh beinecho, that the shir of someone that's impoverished should be precious before the Rabbanu Shalom, kasher yushar al korbanecho, like the shir given in the mikdash and associated with the korbanos. It's shiras rosh. It's alach ma'anya. But what? Why do we celebrate? Because of shat ha'acho. We are presently here, but the shana bo ba'ara di Yisrael. This is temporary. Our circumstances in the Golus are transient. What's permanent in Jewish life is the Rabbeinu Shalom. We will come back to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom al Admas HaKadosh. And therefore, that's the overarching framework of Jewish life. That realization that in the seeds of the first Golus, the Rabbeinu Shalom promised us, and the Mefarshim tell us, and begam that the Rabbeinu Shalom promised that as part and parcel of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he would redeem us from future Golias as well. As the Nesivus puts it, we say, Vautseisi v'itzalti v'gaalti v'lokachti, the full shyness of the Geula. In the Nesivus interpretation, v'gaalti means, as we find in Megillas Rus, ala gula v'ala tmura. Gula means acquisition. The Rabbeinu Shalom acquired us as a people. But beyond that, it's v'lokachti, the permanent association with Klal Yisrael. He promised that in Yetzias Mitzrayim, through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he would redeem us at every point of Golus in the future. So we celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim because that's what assured, in fact, our posterity, our future. We are assured that the Rabbeinu Shalom will redeem us in the future as well. I'll end the Hakdama, I believe, that's another dimension to the Seder. The Seder, in the first half of the Seder, we celebrate the past, Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the second half of the Seder, we celebrate the future, the Gula Asida, the Shana Abba B'Yerushalayim. The stem is from Benisim Nigalu, the Rabbeinu Shalom has redeemed us in Nisim, and Benisim Asidin Ligo. But it also is what fuels, the second half of the Seder is what fuels the first half of the Seder. We celebrate the Yetzias Mitzrayim, why? Because it is that Yetzias Mitzrayim which will bring us in to the Shana Abba B'Yerushalayim. One is rooted in the other. Thus, Pesach is a yontif which is unique. There is no people in the world that can have a yontif such as this. It is a yontif of a very unique people in the world, of a very unique service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's the consciousness with which we have to approach this cut. Now, everything in Yahadus, Machshava itself, is very pale and very insignificant. Machshava has significance when it's associated with Avodah, with mitzvahs in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom.